bus stop in the area that is a safer location and away from the above-named intersection. Discussion. Councilor Keck.
Regarding this resolution, it speaks about the received the petition and the correspondence from two or three individuals. I didn't read in any of that correspondence any reference to the bus stop at the that intersection, so I don't know how you can relate this first part of this resolution to the second half. I think that the second half should be a separate resolution.
Other comments? Councilor Zulak?
I'd like to know where that part of the resolution came from.
The second part, yes. Good question. Anybody have an answer? I'm not sure.
Yes, I brought it up because two staff, I believe Carly called me about something. I forget what it was. No, it's true. But so anyways, it was brought up about the petition, and there was three people going around with these petitions, and they, in relating to me, they would say, felt that a lot of the people, their concern was having the bus stop right at that intersection. So they felt that was making it maybe not as quite as safe as it is totally safe, I guess you could say. But that was a concern by some of these people signing petitions that about potentially seeing about moving the bus stop from that intersection. At one time, it would actually, when there was more kids in Broadbent, which there's getting to be a lot now, and Nick would know a little bit more about numbers maybe, but it used to go to Dickinson's Road as their turnaround, which is right in Broadbent, and then pick all the kids up as it went out of Broadbent. But now, for some reason, because I guess there wasn't kids in Broadbent for a number of years, that they decide whether they turn around the four corners. So I know for sure, I think there's three new families that have little wee kids that haven't started school yet in Broadbent. I don't know how many are driving there now.
I think there are seven children that get on the bus at the four corners right now. Might be six, I don't know, and I know there's more. They're my grandkids, are two of them that get on there, and my daughter-in-law, who obviously is their mom, is trying to arrange a change to have them go to Dickinson again, turn around there and pick up kids, because there are some kids on Dickinson Road, not just halfway down, just past the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're getting on. I think there's three of them right now. Can't think of their name to save my life. I apologize. But yeah, I know that that's an issue for them, because, I mean, frankly, it's a lot more difficult. I mean, if you go down there and park there, and I take my grandkids or pick them up with some frequency, it's difficult to get in and turn around and park, and so you can see the bus coming and all the rest, and then you have to make sure you leave lots of space for the bus to do effectively like a three-point turn in there. It's awkward. Having said that, I genuinely believe that it's safe the way that they're doing it, and bus drivers, if nothing else, are very safe-minded people, but I know that they have a petition of their own to get, I don't know if that's the name of the company, I always thought it was Hammond Transportation, but to relocate the stop, because now there's kids further out the road. So
well, they're probably part of the consortium that they just
they
work
are,
for themselves.
They are, indeed. So.
If they're already working on that, maybe as Councillor Keckman said, the second part is something that we could look at in the future.
Sure.
If they come back to us and say, would you support us in that one, because I think there is a valid point. Those particular ones that we're quoting here just deal with, and it's anecdotal what your sure. Councillor Haskins telling us, they deal with the actual four-way stop. And I'm wondering, too, if it might just be good to deal with the four-way stop at this point, and that the second one might come back later if they're already petitioning them and seek our support at that point.
When I say petitioning, I don't think there's a written document
okay.
on it. They've just gone as a group of parents asking, is my understanding. I don't have first-hand knowledge of that. But.
Yes. Now, Carly, you mentioned about maybe having more information on
yes,
how
I spoke to the executive director of the consortium. His name is Chuck. He reached out to me before this bylaw was read first and second time, and he wanted to change the bus route in the area anyways because more kids are being picked up around Dickinson Road, and they agreed that that intersection would be a safer spot to pick up the children. And then I also spoke to Greg, and he agrees that that intersection would be more sure. well suited.
No, I didn't think that makes sense, and they know more about it than me for sure.
So. Yeah, that all sounds good. I think that's good being proactive like that. My only worry is that we're dealing with those who signed the petition. What if they don't want this part?
Yeah, I think that second part needs to be removed from this resolution, and that gets dealt with at another point in time. Or if a councillor wants to put another resolution to the table dealing specifically with that, then that's an option as well.
Yeah, I'd be in favor of that, and whether we can give direction to staff to continue with the same, but relocating the bus turnaround. Now, I am hoping that if the bus turnaround would be then at Dickinson's, that the option then is they can pick kids up at their homes as they go through. Do you know if that would be the case?
They were speaking about having kids congregate at the intersection for pickup, but that could be an option. The consortium is coming down the end of this week to do a site visit, so I believe that they'll have more information for the township once that's completed.
Okay. Yeah, it would only seem to make sense, though, wouldn't it, that turns around there, they'll pick up whatever kids at Dickinson Road at that location, and then pick all the kids up as they go on through.
Makes sense.
I know.
Yeah, what's that got to do with it? But yeah, anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I think that's the hope of parents anyhow. So.
Yeah, well, that's where, do we need parent input in some way, whether it's letters or petition? I guess Carly would know if
it
things...
It doesn't sound like it. The consortium is in favor of moving the bus stop. They said, from the township standpoint, it'll only be an email from the clerk saying that this is the intention of the township and that could be dealt with once the consortium was able to do a site visit and approve of the new bus stop.
Do you want me to ask the parents that I know to contact you?
Yes, please.
Okay, I will. So, I don't know them all, but I know a few of them. So,
yeah, that's going to be a question. I think most of them are probably about the same distance, but some may prefer the four corners of Wycombe because I don't know whether some of them carry on to work from there if they go back home.
Not that I see. Most of them are...
Distance-wise, probably a lot of them are as close to Dickinson's as they are, and with a lot less traffic, And we could, even if they need a little more space on Dickinson's to park, through Greg, we could talk to the property owners there, which are a really nice elderly couple. It would, and to see if we could widen the road a little bit to give the bus a little more parking area. Greg could talk, and I could go with, because I know them, a nice old couple, and they'd probably be willing to let it widen onto their lawn, which is actually township property anyway. So, but sometimes it's just nice to ask people first before you start digging their lawn up.
Oh, yes. I agree. Now these people would be more agreeable than previous owners.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
I mean, I'm curious about the petition that we do have, which isn't about the bus. As to who organized this and how it happened and how do we know that it's representative? I mean, I can see lots of areas that are not included, including myself and all the rest. So I'm just curious. I'm glad to see that that many people are interested enough to sign it, but on what basis was it conducted and how do we know that they didn't, and I'm not accusing anybody of doing this, how do we know that it wasn't managed in such a way to get the answers that they wanted?
Yeah, I don't know. I brought it up to some people once, so, well, we should get a petition going around. I was negative against the petition because petitions usually lean one way, but they only will give you one option on them. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, okay, well, let's not do it. Let's turn it more into a referendum and give them the option of the change or leave it as is. So I structured this. And I had three people volunteer to go around with the petition.
Okay.
And they went around. As you can see, some people wanted the four-way,
sure.
But some of that was related to the bus stop. So I thought, well,
okay.
Right now I think it was 44 leave as is, 11 saying change.
Yep.
If you factor in taking the bus stop away from there, it's probably more like 50 to 2. So I think... It's and it keeps the flow going through. I got another spiel I could go on, but if council feels that this petition is enough maybe to leave that intersection as is, well, then I don't need to go on any long spiels.
Well, I think that conversation takes place when third reading comes to the table, which will be later in the council meeting.
It's not on.
It's not on here?
No, this is a resolution.
But
we're dealing with it at this point.
But it isn't the third reading for the stop sign, wasn't it supposed to be dealt with at this council?
I don't think it's on the agenda for tonight. We're just receiving this. But
now, there's a little bit of an issue. The third reading, there was no panic because it's not on this agenda. But if a lot of these people signed the petition, they were saying, well, should we make a deputation to council or should we be attending a council meeting and everything? And so now, if the problem with the process is, if you want to do a deputation, you have to put your name in by Tuesday.
Yeah.
They haven't seen the agenda, so if they knew it was going to be on the agenda, they'd probably put in for a deputation. But they don't know, so it's kind of a backwards kind of feel. So whether we wanted, if we're going to do the third reading, we better give them lots of notice so they can attend. Or if there's a way of council giving their feeling on it, which way we would vote going forward on it, do they need to do deputations and attend a meeting here? Because unfortunately the meetings go on and on and on, but I think some feel strong enough that they would sit here and go through all of this. So that's a little bit of a concern with doing the third reading. It should be maybe given more than the next meeting. It should be a set date in the future.
Oh, yes. The idea originally was that nothing like this would happen anyway until the spring, at the earliest, if it did pass and you started putting up stop signs. So there was time to put a petition together, whatever you had to do. And certainly we've heard the people in the area speak. I don't know, as you say, I didn't do a check there. Maybe somebody who was campaigning in that area would know how many people could have signed and didn't. But I think they've spoken very loudly here in what they've had to say.
And the petitioners did want to continue. They were actually on a real short notice because they had to have this in by Tuesday morning, I believe it was. So, and they asked me, did you want us to continue on with the petition? Because they still had lots of places to go to, and probably including next. And so if I never signed it. Well, you know how I feel. I don't need to sign.
I have no trouble supporting, you know, if 80% of the people voted, you know, one way, I don't have any disagreement at all.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how far we're going to carry this on and fill a council chambers, or whether or even a resolution by councils to not have the third reading, or saying where the petition has spoke plenty now and we have heard you. And it will not be changed to a...
Well, it's difficult in a resolution to do that because, I mean, you follow the process. You do have a third reading, and I've heard some horror stories from other councils where they agree to things out of council or even at a council table, and it comes back to the actual legal third reading and changes the vote.
Yeah.
So I think if nothing else, it's word of mouth. That's what you've been doing, sort of thing, and... And when this appears for third reading, I think there'd have to be some, as I say, off-the-record sort of indication of how it might go. I don't anticipate, from what I'm hearing here even tonight, I don't anticipate that you need, you know, the council chambers full of people to push this forward. And I know it was a recorded vote last time, but from what we're saying now, and as I said, the people have spoken, the people who use it regularly, and they don't seem to want it. So... I'm certainly not one to pursue it if it's not wished for in that area. So I don't know whether that's any, I mean, that's my word on it, but when it comes time to vote, they'll have to trust that that's how council is feeling. I don't know how you give them a fair warning through resolution, even that I don't think, or I think...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I'm thinking they'll have to decide for themselves whether they want to show up to a meeting for third reading to see if it goes their way. That's all I can say. And I think they're getting a feeling now by just listening to the recording of where things might go. But
Well, just for the recording, I am not in favor of a four-way stop at that intersection. I say leave it as it is. So, and I'll stick by my word.
Any other comments, discussion? Okay, now we've taken the second, so it's just the first paragraph now that stays in. The second part has been removed. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Too good for protecting me here late from aquatic invasive species. Resolution 23-160, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the toolkit for protecting your lake from aquatic invasive species, facilitated by the Federation of Ontario Cottagers Associations. Discussion? All the questions?
Okay. I'm just wondering if this can be posted on the Township Facebook page, just because it is February 20th to 26th is Invasive Species Awareness Week, and just to ensure that we're not just receiving information and not allowing it to fulfill its full mandate of, you know, making it the citizens aware of what the concerns really are.
Good.
Facebook page and Township website, in a visible place, not in the agenda packet.
I guess the positive from what we're seeing from the studies is that mammoth robbing is negative for the invasive species that they've measured.
Yeah, so this is very interesting, just how the concentration of calcium makes a difference on which invasive species survive and which ones don't.
This is closely connected to the Environment Committee work over the last year, and indeed we put up signs at the boat launches last spring or summer. I'm not sure exactly when, but which is one of the issues in here. This covers a lot more than that, of course. But
okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. McKellar Cultural Society Arm Wrestling Donation, Resolution 23-161, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Keckman. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a letter dated February 15, 2023, from the McKellar Agricultural Society, and further that it be resolved, the Council will consider the donation amount of $193 for the arm wrestling tournament prize money during the annual budget discussions. Discussion? I think as I read that again, they wanted a commitment for the length of the book, so it's 193 over 3 years, 4 years. Not sure.
Over
4 years. Okay. So that's something, and I'm just wondering. And they're also in the process, according to this, their publication is that they're taking it to publication, and I think they're talking March at some point to have it published. I'm just thinking we should send something back to them. Maybe they could delay their publication date, or we could speed up our budget dates and come to some conclusion on this one. I just thought that we've had people asking for money already, different organizations, and they've been put on hold because we're not talking budget yet. But we will be shortly. And then it's just a question of, as I say, they're in the situation, I think, now that they want to get this to press. They also want the township logo, I think, is what they requested, along with that in their book. That'd be good for 4 years. So I'll put that out to you, whether you want to follow procedure and wait and ask them maybe to prolong their publication date if they can. I don't know how long that takes. Councillor Haskell.
I sort of thought, Dave, if we passed a motion for an expenditure, that we just go ahead with it. We don't need to pass the budget.
I'm not saying pass the budget. I'm just saying it's part of the budget discussion.
Right.
So where would we pass the budget for Agricultural Society?
Yeah, it'd be part of our donation.
But I'm not sure we've got that anywhere for this year. We haven't even talked budget yet.
No, I know, but if we, to continue normal business of the municipality, if we want to make an expenditure such as getting internet service by motion, I would sort of think that is good enough to go ahead with that,
Except donations worry me a little bit because a number of people will be coming forward asking for donations. Mm-hmm. And we don't even have an idea. The one that concerns me most, I think, is our Recreation and Cultural Center, what we're obligated to pay there, and where our money's going to go. And I'm not sure that we can actually accommodate all of the requests for donations, to be honest. And the thing is, if you start giving these out early, and I say early because we haven't discussed it, we haven't seen on a page who's requesting donations, how much do they want, where does it fit into the overall scheme. If we start giving that out early, then that affects our overall budget. Can we afford something else if we've already spent money? So I'm thinking it should be part of a bigger picture before we start saying yes to donations. But public again, if you're interested. Reg.
Okay. I believe the last time we had this discussion, wherever our town council, the discussion was that this isn't a donation, it's the township that supports the arm wrestling. Well, we have been.
Well, I started it.
Yeah, so the Agriculture Society has never, ever paid for it. It's supported it. It's a township function. It's not the Agriculture Society. The Agriculture Society runs it for the township.
Yeah, that's what it began in 2017.
That's what it's always been. It's no change.
Yeah. It's just the way it was worded sort of thing.
Yeah, so whenever this came up before, we didn't discuss it as being a donation. It's a township expense. Like Morty said, I think.
So why are they sending the letter?
That would make a difference, huh? I'm not sure. Well, you have to talk to Lee. Yes.
Well, I believe the purpose of the letter is to get a firm commitment, like you had mentioned, that so that they can have it when they print the prize book for that's going to encompass the next 4 years. I don't think that there is an issue with the township in principle making that kind of a commitment, which has been an ongoing commitment, and we didn't even consider it in any relation to the donation grant policy when it was discussed last year with council. And so it needs to be a commitment in principle because it's not bound by this year's budget, because if we're making a commitment in principle for 4 years, and if the argument is that we can't do it because we've got to pass it has to be approved in the budget, well, we only approve the budget for 1 year. So we have to sort of, you know, come to a consensus that for the next 4 years, Council, the Township of McKellar is committed to this this event.
I think there's a trophy involved too that the township engraved in the Agriculture Society. We just looked after the engraving, the township paid for that. So,
So a changing of the motion then?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You just need to be
to continue to sponsor. Continue to sponsor the arm wrestling contest.
Yeah, that might be a way around it.
Yeah.
Emphasis on continue and then.
Yeah.
Dave and I can't argue anymore then.
No, I know that's how we it started the whole thing as part of the 2017 and the parade and the number of things that were introduced. I guess the only concern is, and it's still been going on, which is good, if they decide to discontinue doing it, like they've discontinued the parade. If they discontinue the arm wrestling, and we're sponsoring it for 4 years,
I guess you got an extra couple hundred bucks.
I guess. Yeah.
Anyway, you're not gonna have to listen to me anymore.
We have you on tape. We'll just play it over and over.
We can get into all kinds of trouble doing that. So.
Start editing the recordings?
Yeah.
Probably been done somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. Not for things like this, though.
If that's too much right now, we can save that as well.
Okay.
Do we leave that last bit on during the annual budget discussion?
No, that would disappear.
Okay, then. This,
silence is deafening.
Now, the whole discussion, too, of budgets for 1 year, yes and no. There are certain items that continue year after year after year in the budget. So a budget is for more than 1 year.
We currently do an annual budget. There are other municipalities.
I'm saying you look at the items that are in the annual budget. Some of them are very similar, so they do continue. Okay, now the other thing was they wanted a commitment for the 4 years. I don't think it says that in there.
Well, I hear you saying 4 years, but I mean, they actually mentioned three specific.
Three, that's all. I said three. Greg said four.
Yeah, I mean, it says 2023, 24, and 25, so that's three.
Yeah.
Will the amount change every year, or is it, 193 per year?
Yeah. That's remarkable that a donation amount would be decreasing from year to year. I don't know that I've come across that yet, so, right? If on the basis that we gave them 250 last year and apparently in previous years, then, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how they talk about it. Maybe they redesigned the categories. And
maybe.
Less prize money. So is that understood that the township level, that's something that's kept very close to the heart of the township? If it was into a booklet, I think there has to be approval of that. It's not out.
I actually had questions as well regarding that. Is there any criteria or any policy regarding the use of the township logo?
I know one previous council, it was a major issue because it was going out there without permission of the township. People were using it. Mm-hmm. And there was one councilor in particular who said that's illegal. Now, I don't know what he based that on, but it was saying that it wasn't, they shouldn't be representing the township by putting that beside their name or their organization if they didn't have the township approval. Now, I don't know all the legalities of it, but it seems to make some sense to me that I imagine that there's some control over your logo that people just can't pick it up and use it. I don't know whether Roshan has any more information on that. But
no, basically it's a trademark, right? So
right.
Trademark is a legal owner. Whoever created the trademark is the legal owner of the trademark. So if somebody else uses, then it's illegal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So maybe we should. I know we were adding this up, Councilor Kuchner.
Well, I was surprised around Christmas time. I seen a flyer on the wall advertising a Christmas concert, and the township logo was on it. And I believe that one of these, the bottle groups that pick up the recyclable bottles at the transfer station felt that the township should receive some recognition. I don't believe any of us knew that we were sponsoring a Christmas concert through that, but anyways, I was surprised to see the township logo on this advertisement for that Christmas concert.
Yeah, there's something that should be investigated who's using it then, because I noticed two different organizations that we're part of. They're showing our township logo, and I don't know whether they've had approval to do that or not. They usually list the townships who are involved, and they throw the logo on with the name. I don't know whether that's all legal or whether it's gone through the right channels or not even.
So, yeah, I think that's a question, because when something goes out from the corporation of the township of McKellar, it's usually going out from the office. I don't think we as councillors put that on any of our emails, because we are not the corporation of the township of McKellar. It's the corporate body of all of council that would have to prove something for that logo to be endorsing whatever it is that's being sent out.
Okay, so I'm not sure whose hands we leave that in there. To further investigate, that's a major matter of control, I guess, and what happens, and what are the repercussions? What if you do discover people using it? But what do you do?
Send them a cease and desist request.
Yeah.
But if it's in a published book, it isn't going to be removed, that's for sure.
So we have Resolution 23-161, moved by Councilor Zulak, second Councilor Kaepernick, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the letter dated February 15, 2023 from the McKellar Agricultural Society, and further be it resolved that the Township continues to sponsor the arm wrestling tournament through providing the prize money in the amount of $193 for the next 3 years, and further that Council receive a draft version of the fair booklet to approve the use of the Township's logo. Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
We've got on file in case something happens.
Yep.
So, motion, notice of motion 20.1, that's being removed.
Yes.
20.2, appointment to Recreation Committee, Resolution 23-162, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Terry Malusku to the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Appointment to McKellar 150th Centennial Committee. Resolution 23-163, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Stephen McDonnell to the Township of McKellar 150th Sesquicentennial Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. New land acknowledgement for council meetings. At Resolution 23-164. Move the Councilor Zulak, second Councilor Kekkonen, whereas the Township of McKellar Public Library has updated their territorial acknowledgement. Whereas the Library Board's extensive research, care, and consideration of properly acknowledging the lands at which we gather and recognizing the suffering that Indigenous people have suffered and continue to cope with have been thoughtfully acknowledged in this statement. Whereas the Library Board has offered for the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to utilize the land acknowledgement they created. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby adopt the following respect and acknowledgement declaration to be read at the beginning of each regular open council meeting. And it reads as follows: in the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. Discussion? I'm noticing that it's on our next agenda, so is there... somebody knows something I don't?
No.
It's what? On the next agenda?
The any fix, further discussion?
The fix was in according to Mr. Trump, so. No, I think it's good. I mean, it's a lot of words, but I think it's very thought-provoking, anyhow. So.
It is, and I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of the... commitment, I guess, if nothing else, that is incorporated in this that's not in the other one. Mm-hmm. Because pledge to work in community, work towards truth and reconciliation. So that's a commitment on council for future consideration. Now, it's just one thing I noticed in this one that we have a present one right now, and it's something, Councillor Ryan, that you pointed out. This says the traditional territory. It doesn't say unceded.
That's true.
And I'm not sure whether library has picked up on that or whether they're concerned about that or whether there's a that's important to put that in.
I would think it is terrifically important, actually. I'm sorry I missed that, yeah. Now, are we free to, I mean, given this came to us from the library, are we free to amend it as appropriate?
Yes. It will become ours, I think.
Okay.
Unless it's a trademark and there's a license for this.
I think the way that it's worded is until we confirm any changes here, I think that I think that it's fine the way it's written right now, because it's acknowledging that this is the traditional territory. So I don't think there's anything, you know, maybe this needs to go to the First Nations and ask which one they prefer.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, the one we now have, the one we've been reading for quite a while, it says unceded, traditional unceded territory, doesn't it?
It does.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the way this current one is...
All I'm asking is that Councillor Ryland says that the unceded is necessary. Traditional territory doesn't say enough. So I think that's what we have to clarify. Why is it important that it be in there? I mean, is it just for emphasis that it's unceded, or does it have its own meaning? Is it more significant because it is unceded as opposed to traditional territory, which is fairly general?
It points out, it speaks to the claim that, you know, the lands were stolen from them. And I mean, it, perhaps not in those explicit terms, but that's the notion of what unceded does for the statement anyhow. Right? It wasn't signed away in a treaty. This was just taken away.
Whereas this territory acknowledgement, it recognizes that its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1815 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. So it's acknowledging the traditional territory.
True.
And it's acknowledging that that treaty was signed.
I think we could do both, Mike. I mean, I take your point. I mean, rather than have a bunch of, not a derogatory, a bunch of white people sitting around a room like this and talking about this, why don't we ask Indigenous people what they would like to see? We can go ahead with this for the time being. I think this is an improvement over the existing statement we have in our minutes, and then take further steps to ask. I don't know how we would identify who those people are, but I'm sure there's ways to do it without knowing how to do it myself. But that gives us kind of the best of both worlds, and just say, would you like us to say something differently, and you know, would you engage us and tell us about why you would want to change, or, you know, do you want to change? But I think it's respectful to do that, and I think that's really the whole point of the statement anyway, is to acknowledge that they've been wronged in simple terms, right? I mean, if you look at it across the whole country, yeah, it's not a very nice thing, right? But
yeah, always keep that out of it, and we'll keep it as it is.
I think I recall that the library did consult with the First Nations in some degree. So, but anyways, I certainly believe that if you make any statement, that you would consult with those who are preparing the statement in regard to. So,
I can ask the library who they consulted with, just for confirmation.
Sure.
Okay, so as is, we won't put on seat, and it just stays as is,
yeah,
which we read out. Any further discussion on that one? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Okay. Increased mileage rate. Type resolution 23-165, moved by Councillor Ketchman, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the Canada Revenue Agency, CRA, prescribes a reasonable per kilometre allowance in section 7306 of the income tax regulations, and whereas these rates represent the maximum deduction as business expenses, they are commonly used as a guideline to determine if the allowance paid to employees is reasonable. Now, therefore, be resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby pay the agreed mileage set by the Canada Revenue Agency. Discussion? Councillor Ryan.
I would like to add at the end of that last sentence, just namely 68 cents per kilometer for the first 5,000. In other words, as it says in the excerpt from the webpage, that's a general statement and it's right, but we might as well specify it, because otherwise there isn't a...
If you do specify, you'll have to specify the year then too, and the time, because that changes, I think.
It does. I think it changes every year, but I mean, there is no date on this.
No, what I'm saying is the resolution covers whatever it is. It doesn't actually give a date or an amount, whereas if you put in the actual amount, you're going to have to keep changing this resolution, because the 68 cents won't apply maybe next year. That's all I'm getting at. Whereas if you go to the CRA, whatever they have,
yeah,
that's what you're going. I know what you're saying to make it more specific for the average person, but
or we could say as or as set by the Canada Revenue Agency from time to time, right?
Yeah, which
I'm okay with that too, but it's just more specific. That's all. So
My only question on all of this is too, because I'm wondering what other townships are doing, whether this is fairly standard. Roshan can speak to this maybe. Because I know this has always come up, different issues through church and different organizations, and what do you base it on? Apparently, I don't know whether provincial federal governments go by CRA or whether they have their own rates. And I know it concerns when people go from one place as opposed to another, and they're getting paid different rates, depending on which township you're in. And they base it on different factors. So I'm just wondering how common the CRA rate is. Because right now, and I don't know whether it's just my perception of it, it's 68 cents, as I think you said,
yeah.
The first.
Yeah.
And other places, it's, and actually in one church, they were at 60, 61, I think, and they're reducing it now to 58. And I'm not sure what they're basing it on either, whether it's United Church. And so I guess the question is, in all of this, are we standing on solid ground here with other townships and other organizations and what they're paying? And I know we can't really base it on the price of gasoline because it fluctuates so much. And we do need an outside source, I guess, that sets a rate, as long as you're happy with this, that we're in line with other places. Councilor Roshan.
Most of the municipalities follow the CRA rate.
They do?
Township of Whitestone, they have 68 cents for 2023.
Okay. Now, when you say most, that's one. I mean,
like, you know, even when I worked in the town of Perth, they also follow the CRA.
Okay.
And our neighboring municipalities, they also follow the CRA. But when you look at the private or other organization, they can set up their own rates, which is not necessarily be a CRA rate.
Right. Okay. Correct.
Sounds good.
Councilor Kerr.
What is our, what is the current rate based on? Because I do recall that our current rate was based on a government entity set rate. It wasn't something that council just pulled out of the air. It was based on another government agency's rate. So what is the current one set at from which government agency?
So current one we have is 59 cents, which was also based on the CRA rate, which was done in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't revised in 2022, so that's why we're still carrying the 59, even though in 2022 CRA rate was 61 cents.
Well, there is always that question whether you leave it up to council and what do they base it on, as opposed to having an outside agency that many places are using, and that's more objective.
Whether we drive gas guzzlers or not?
No, don't get into that.
So, electric vehicles, but let's bring that one up.
No, Councillor Peck, you talk about long meetings? Councillor Peck?
So how is the previous resolution written then? Because wouldn't it reset itself at the...
No, I think previously it was specifically mentioned about the 59 cents in the resolution, so, and specific year, so that's why didn't automatically, you know, change.
Okay.
And this motion will be good year after year then? We'll adjust it. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, if you see there's a link on the back that actually tells you the prior year rates is set in here. And obviously, that's a hyperlink. You can go and look up what the old ones were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall having ever seen that before, but it's a useful to have.
Yeah,
so.
We didn't revise it in 2022. We revised it in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Bylaw 2019-53 amendment. Resolution 23-166, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby amend bylaw number 2019-53, being a bylaw to provide for the payment of remuneration to members of council by deleting clause number 3 and which reads that the above remuneration shall be increased in January 2021 and in subsequent years by the annual October price index for Ontario, end quote. And further be it resolved that said remuneration bylaw shall be reviewed by council in January on an annual basis. Discussion? Councillor Haskin.
Maybe a question for Roseanne. I know we get paid bi-weekly, and number four here says that the annual remuneration shall be paid in 12 monthly installments, payment on the last day of each month. That's what this bylaw says.
I have that
I think back in June 2021, I put forward a resolution that moving from the counselor pay from monthly to bi-weekly.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, the bylaw should be amended to reflect that.
Yeah, probably should.
It isn't bi-weekly, by the way. It's semi-monthly. So...
so could we just
by week you would get 26 pays in a year, and semi-monthly you get 24, and that's what we're getting, right? You and I have had this discussion before, but just for the record, so
it's not just semantics; it goes deeper than that.
Well, it means two extra pays if you said bi-weekly, so.
So either leave it four as is, or just delete it totally off this bylaw.
I'm not sure if we need
do we need it? Yeah, it's a good question.
I'll look up the resolution.
Okay. So we just want to defer this until the next.
Or we could amend it to say 24 semi-monthly installments. I mean, it's no big deal, but.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but I guess if we're changing it, I guess we'll.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bylaw and it should read.
Yeah.
So we can defer, as you suggest, and get it worded different if you want. Call the question on deferral. All those in favor? None opposed? Defer. The Ombudsman Report Resolution. Seemed the longest for the end here. And Resolution 23-167, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar passed Resolution 23-126. To receive the Ombudsman Report dated January 2023 by Paul Dubé for the investigation into complaints about meetings held for the Township of McKellar on August 24th, August 31st, and September 9th, 2021, and April 12th, 2022. And whereas the Office of the Ombudsman contacted the Township to follow up with the report and requested a resolution outlining actions being taken following the recommendations in the report moving forward, and whereas the members of Council have reviewed the report at great length and have demonstrated the understanding of its findings as issues have arisen in this new term of council, and whereas technical issues prohibited the public's attendance at a regular meeting of council through an electronic meeting platform provided on December 20th, 2022, the meeting was adjourned, which follows Recommendation 3 of the Ombudsman Report. And whereas the Township's new procedural bylaw 2023-08 was passed on January 24th, 2023, to ensure clear timelines for giving the public notice of all meetings, Recommendation 6, and outlines procedures for electronic meetings, Recommendation 3. And whereas the Township continues to work with our current internet service provider and explore potential new providers in the area to increase speeds to adequately run an electronic meeting, Recommendation 2. And whereas all other recommendations are being fulfilled, now therefore be resolved the Corporation of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does accept the recommendations and opinions provided to the Township from the Ombudsman Report and continues to fulfill their obligations under the Municipal Act to provide the public with transparent meetings of council. Discussion? It's an excellent resolution. I don't know whether Charlie put that together or who was responsible, but I think it covered what we've already anticipated in the report from what we understood was happening, and I think that will certainly satisfy and hopefully we get things in order so that we don't run into another report.
No, I like the resolution too. It explains it really well.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Well, I think it was well written. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Council twice there also.
Oh, sorry.
So you just put council first, that's all. The way it is. Well, that's good. I'm just wondering, maybe we should, since we changed it as an initial.
Sure.
It's just that one spot.
Yeah. What's this one?
Same. It's this first part of this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, that's good there. Okay. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to bylaws. 21.1, we have resolution 23-168, moved by Councillor Ketchum, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-13. Being a bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2023, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council this 21st day of February 2023. Discussion? Everybody has the updated version that came through? The changes?
I don't have it printed, but I know what it says.
Did we see your fingerprint on there?
Yes.
Good. And Roshan was okay with that?
Yeah. I talked to Roshan about it earlier too, so. Very small changes actually, but just for clarity, so.
Call the question then. All those in favor? Not opposed. Gary? Resolution 23-167, moved to Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Kavanagh. Whereas Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar gave bylaw 2022-42, being a bylaw to establish and regulate a fire department within the Township of McKellar, first and second reading on August 9, 2022. And whereas resolution number 22-311 cited the bylaw be reviewed by legal representation and has been done so by Russell Christie, LLP. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2022-42, being a bylaw to establish and regulate a fire department within the Township of McKellar, a third reading and passed in open council this 21st day of February 2023. Discussion?
It's a big document. On the second page, the pages themselves are not numbered, but on 1.18. My only real comment on here was that we get into a statement, so it says, limited service means a variation of service significantly differentiating from the norm as a result of extenuating circumstances, such as the insufficient response of volunteer paid on-call firefighters. And I don't know if they are, they are volunteers. I understand that they're paid an honorarium, or at least that they earn an honorarium. I don't even know if they're paid, technically. For that, but I mean, using the word paid in here causes me some concern because that employs, well, and it gets into it later on the next page. There's quite a bit of discussion here about, you know, whether they are indeed employees. So, and I think saying that they're paid implies that they're employees, right? And again, I don't understand the whole relationship here with the Firefighter Association and things that makes it difficult, but on the basis the legal counsel looked at it, I'd leave it alone. But It just struck me because it comes up later at the bottom of page 3, if I'm right. Yeah, the one with lots of comments down the side. But and that's what made me look back and read it again. But again, if legal counsel's looked at it, I'll just shut up and I won't say anything further. But it does cause me concern, and I don't know. And I don't know, Roshan, I have some routine contact with firefighters, volunteer firefighters who are friends of mine and everything else, and frankly it seems clear as mud as to how the honorarium works, and I've never had a discussion since I've been on council about how that works. I know it was the situation behind the dismissal of the previous fire chief, and I won't get into that further, but and I don't know, I don't think that's covered anywhere in this document. I did read the whole thing, but it was rather quick on some pages. But and again, that's why it caused me to look at this again to say, are they indeed paid, or do they earn an honorarium, which is a very different thing, right? Which implies an employment relationship, right? So.
No, that's an excellent discussion. We've mentioned this before with the association, even. We're not sure what that gray area is, and I think we need further enlightenment from somebody explaining how they operate, because there are references in here to using township equipment.
Yeah.
And if it's an association, to me the association is the firefighters, I guess, except for the chief, who's management,
yeah.
What I've been told. But I'm a little confused on the role of the association, because there is a clause in here that really concerns me. It's clause 11 of the property, and it says, no person shall use any apparatus, equipment, or other property of the fire department or any for any personal or private use except with prior approval of the fire chief. Well, if it's fire department material, first of all, that would be township material, and now he's giving the authority that this can be used for personal private use. There's potential anyway. I'm not sure if he should have that authority as the fire chief,
yeah.
If it's township equipment. And again, this comes back to the question of who owns what and who's in charge of what. As a firefighter, I mean, where is your actual loyalty lie, I guess? Is it to the association, which I interpret as a type of union of some sort, I guess, or is it to the township? I'm not really sure. Did they bargain on behalf, and again, back to who's paid what, and with its honorariums, who bargains on behalf of the volunteer firefighters? Is it the fire chief? Is it the chair of the association? Is there any bargaining that needs to take place? There's so many question marks here on how it's set up. I'm not sure who has the answers. Councillor Zulak.
So would the fire chief know that? Like, would he be able to answer these questions if we met
Probably
with
not
him?
All of them.
No.
Like, not privy to the meetings of the association even, I don't think.
Well, I think if enough councillors are concerned with 11.0 property and we feel that that should be removed, then it should be removed. And secondly, I think this leads to another thing that the municipality used to have, which used to be a staff code of conduct, which we currently do not have. There's just one for council, and previously there was one that was for staff as well. So I think that's something that needs to be put in place. Regarding employment, do all of the volunteer firefighters receive a T4 slip? Okay, so I think that changes it from a volunteer to an employee.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree that's true, but I mean, unless the employer is the Firefighter Association, I don't know. Is it, or is it the Township of
McCall? No, it's directly the employee are on our payroll, and the relationship we have is employer and employee. Not, we don't have direct relationship with the association, though. So they might be member of the association, but you know, we don't deal with the association.
So they pay membership fees?
That's totally a separate entity.
Yeah.
So you have the township's volunteer fire department.
Firefighter association, but yeah.
And the oath association is something that's totally...
I thought I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I don't have it in front of me, there was at least a two-page document from the association explaining how they're paid. That's where I'm getting confused.
You think it was in here or you think it's somewhere else?
No. I saw it, so I don't know where I saw it.
I think in the 21 or 2020 December, they signed a association signed a agreement or policy with the township mentioning how it should be paid and
yeah.
what was the points, how the points works and
yeah.
that kind of policy.
Yeah.
I've seen that policy.
Right.
And I was confused, as like you, that why it's coming from the association, not from the fire chief.
Right. It seems a little odd.
So maybe they weren't quite sure of how things are structured either. You know, that the fire chief should be looking after the expenses, including operating and capital of the fire department, including the how the firefighters are paid, and that is the fire chief on, you know, putting forward a budget that council agrees on. So it's nothing is coming from the association. So
yeah, whether it was an association recommendation on, like their association, I think from what I gather, had a big meeting and they went over the point system where you will be compensated, where you won't. And I think some of the conversation might have been if you attend at the McKellar Market, do you get points for that, which I believe maybe they do. And but at one time that all that was discussed and they came to an agreement on how, you know, their lump sum would be distributed among their members. So there's some document out there somewhere.
On the bottom of, or on the right hand side of the very last page from legal counsel, it says volunteer firefighters are not in a true employer-employee relationship with the municipality. I mean, then it goes on to talk about workers, WSIB, and those types of things. I mean, that's specific to that. But I mean, throughout the whole thing, I think it's, at least to me, an extremely confusing relationship between the firefighters and the township. And frankly, for the most part, I'm mystified. And I have talked to, I had volunteer firefighters call me, and because they knew that, I think they knew that Rob was working on this. I'm not sure of that. And frankly, it wasn't very clear with them either. And frankly, after talking to two or three, it got worse, not better. It was like, does anybody anywhere understand what it is we're actually trying to do? And I don't know anybody that does, and I certainly don't feel like I know what it is. So it's at the very least disturbing to think that we don't know, right? But and I don't know, I mean, Rob, because he's so new, I don't think it's, I mean, it's not unfair to ask him. I think it's unfair to expect him to have an answer. But anyway, I'm confused by the whole thing, and I know it all goes back to the previous fire chief situation, but...
Well, we need somebody to explain it to us, because Ina, as I mentioned before, said that Rob is not part of the association.
No.
He's management. So
yeah.
Whether he could explain the association to us, I don't think he's the right person then. I don't know how he even operates, because, I mean, they're firefighters on behalf of the township, and yet they have their own group. And I don't know whether this is a province-wide group that they belong to, if it's
no.
bigger than just the area, because there are a lot of firefighters associations in the province, throughout Canada.
Mm.
And so I'm not sure whether they're all part of one large organization.
Not that I know of, but I mean, that doesn't mean much. It's just that I don't know about it. So,
yeah, I think ours was started way back. I think Bob Arnold, I think, was chief way back when they started the association, just strictly for the purpose of fundraising or raising money. And then they would have their own say as to where monies would spend, not always rely on what council would say, almost like we were the enemy or something, but they would make their own money and spend it, and usually up to, for equipment, up to grades and that.
You know, there were quite a few chiefs since then, and I don't recall this difficulty in understanding the association. They must have worked under, I don't know,
everything was simpler, right?
Yeah, simpler, maybe that was it.
By one page of the whole description.
It's fair to say that from the guys that I talked to, at least, that there was still a lot of ill will towards council, even towards me, and I wasn't part of any of that stuff, and I remind them of that, but anyhow, just this, you know, resentment anyhow, and I don't know how to clear it, and frankly, I don't know that anybody does, but...
towards this council?
Well, towards council, but I mean, I shouldn't have said this council, but towards council, right? I mean, including council of the day.
Along with the other 3,000 taxpayers in the township?
But there almost seems to be no way to get out of this. I don't even know if we are permitted or desire to have a conversation. I think the best way to clear the air with anybody, in my experience, is always to talk to them.
Yeah.
Right, and I don't know why we can't do that, other than I wouldn't do it without asking, I guess, the Firefighter Association and the fire chief, but I think we can repair it. I just don't know how to start. And frankly, I kind of got dragged into this backwards, not because I went seeking it, it's just because they came towards me. So,
well, I'm thinking it's leading to, and I hate to say it because of cost, but I think we need a legal interpretation of this as well, because if even the firefighters themselves are unsure, yeah. I don't know how they expect council to understand it.
Yeah.
They're part of the organization, and we're just seeing it from the outside. I do think we need a legal investigation into this. I mean, she's looked at the agreement and made some comments. Whether those changes were enough for the legal, I don't know, whether they'd like to see things different. And again, I don't know what other townships are doing as far as their, I know that in certain places, I'm not sure if fire department's involved or not, but there are labor organizations, there are unions in different townships. Mm. And I just see this as something similar, although if you say it's been going back to Bob Arnold's time, like I say, it's never surfaced like this before. So.
Oh, I signed the last time there.
I don't know. And I know in other places too, because I came through council years back, that recreation couldn't raise funds through lotteries and bingos and things like that, so we had to form another group. We never had to form a corporation. We just formed a committee, and they did the fundraising. So that's what surprised me when this became a separate, independent corporation who uses township equipment. Are they answerable to council or to the fire chief? I have no idea, because they seem to be playing almost a dual role, and that's what I have to get clarified. So I don't know. We've got our solicitor working on quite a few files right now with land. Situation. I don't know whether we want to delve into this one, but
I should also say, just for the record, that when I talk to them, they have an extremely high opinion of Rob Morrison, the fire chief, and comment frequently about all the things he's done to improve things there. So I think that's great news for the municipality too. So, but I mean, there's all this simmering and here. I don't know anything firsthand about what happened with former fire chief. I'll just say that. But I mean, I've heard lots of rumors. I don't know if any of them are true, and I stay out of that. I say I don't know anything about that. But I mean, I think that there is a pressing need actually to get better communication with, I'll just say, the association at least, maybe firefighters in individually. But and I think, you know, that everything is fixable as long as we can have a conversation. But I don't know what legalities we get into even to do that. So,
yeah.
Right.
Well, I think time will heal.
Yeah?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
There was issues, you know, for a lot of different reasons, and some are just slowly leaving. So, I think everything should be fine. Well, they were just at the kids' fish and fun day, and we got to see the kids pull six of them across the ground.
Pictures,
and,
yeah.
So yeah. They came out to that community event. I was a little worried that they wouldn't,
yeah.
Because I've heard things too. But you know what? I think they want to get along with us and like we do with them. So we'll work on healing any differences.
So we've got third reading here with some changes, or one change anyway, to the actual bylaw. What's our procedure? Do you want to defer it to make a change to the bylaw, or?
So we're just removing 11.
11, I think, that, unless there are other concerns that people have.
Can I just comment on that? I mean, the way I read this, because I had a similar arrangement when I was employed, I mean, it's about using it for personal use, and again, just from a quick observation there, I mean, that kind of thing, in other words, that you want them, you want firefighters to need permission to use the fire department, whatever it's described as here.
Properties.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, well, I know that would also include bunker gear, for example. I know at the fishing derby they were wearing their bunker gear.
Yeah.
I think that's a good example of that. So in other words, I don't think we want to...
No, but it's saying personal private use, it's saying, which is different from as firefighter. So what I'm looking at here as an example of, I don't know whether it's the association or what it was, but which group, they were going to flood private rinks.
Okay.
To me, are they operating as a firefighter there, or are they operating on their own time? They're not getting honorary, apparently, for doing that, and yet they're using township equipment. So that's the question. What happens to that township equipment if something goes wrong while they're using it? And as I say, I don't know whether they're doing it as, I guess as firefighter, that's the only way they could operate that equipment, but it's not really approved. It's sort of a personal use.
Or could we change the bylaw to say with prior approval from council?
But I'm not sure if
you but would you want them, for example, to come to us with that? I mean, they've got six firefighters and they're going to take their bumper gear and go to the... Like, I don't think we want to be involved in that. I don't have a problem with the fire chief doing it. I think the principle is more... I mean, the way it's exactly written, personal and private use, but... Or you could say a public use, I mean, which that would be. And I don't know of other situations where they use equipment, but I'm sure there are some, right?
But even in the old reference to the bylaws, and it may still exist under code of conduct, I'm not sure, that employees cannot use the equipment for personal use, and they can't bid on any equipment that's up for sale.
Yeah, that's so the procurement bylaw, I think.
And it tries to keep them away from anything like that. So I'm just saying the way it's worded here, it sounds as if the fire chief can give them the okay for personal private use of township equipment. And I'm not sure if he should have that authority, because it's not his equipment to actually let them use. And what do we do if they're starting to use that? I mean, there are stories too, and I can find old resolutions way back when township equipment was used on private driveways, way back when. And that would be the last of the list. They would do public roads, and they'd do other roads, and then they'd do driveways and get paid for it, I assume. But I'm not sure if we want to start opening that up again, using public property on private property. And I'm just saying that seems to be wide open there, that it gives too much authority, maybe. And it may be open to interpretation, you're right, but it seems to be a lot of authority to the fire chief to authorize that.
I'd like us to ask Rob's opinion on that, and if he has any example where he would need to be in that position to give permission. So I think a comment from the fire chief on that might be a good idea.
Yeah, as long as you think that there is the potential that it could be okay, that it could be all right for him to let... That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
if you can't think of a situation, do you really want him to think of a situation where you want to use a public piece of equipment on private for private use?
Think of a situation that is A-OK, but then this clause can be used for anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's open-ended. It's definitely.
I think it's a pretty dim view of our view of the fire chief, that he would permit it to be used to hose down somebody's driveway or, you know, build a rink. I mean, perhaps we can change this by putting it in a more community context, is that it could be used for community events, or in the public interest, that type of thing, instead of just saying personal or private.
Yeah, it could be like to fill up a dunk tank at the fall fair or something.
Yeah,
community events.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a way to change it, but you could leave public or private because we really don't want that per se. But, I mean, was the fishing derby a private or personal? No. That's a community event, right?
Same as the market. One time they had the water slides, like for the kids, the fire department would be there.
Oh, yeah, and they participated in the parade for 2 years. So a community sounds pretty good to me. Yes.
I think either conversation with them or... And we can give them our concern. You know, we don't want township property being used for private use, but maybe he has an example of, well, something may come up or whatever, and then he might say, well, you know what, you're right. Well, I don't want that responsibility, but I think we should give him a kick at the...
So you're just a smart guy and all the rest. So.
Could that be done by an amendment later? Just because there's other important topics in this bylaw that should be passed sooner rather than later, and then we can revisit other...
I think we'll just have a conversation with Rob next time he comes to council saying, you know, there was that clause in there.
Yeah.
You know, we had concern about it, and if we have to make an amendment, then we will.
I know he's coming back to council with the emergency plan, because I was working on that with him a couple weeks ago.
We can
put that on that same agenda and ask him just to go through this. I suspect that because he's involved in this, there isn't other concerns that he has here. But just in case, if he does, then put him on the table, right? So
Okay, so we're all agreeable. I'll call the question on this then, and maybe a future amendment. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-168, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-20, being a bylaw to amend Schedule A of bylaw 2019-56, a bylaw to adopt a policy for donations/grants, a first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open council this 21st day of February 2023. Discussion?
This came up on at last council with items with requests not being made on time, and yet we still funded them. I don't think it was a significant amount of money.
We didn't fund any.
No.
Okay. But I mean, I just question, in other words, I have no problem with what it says. I question whether we should say, you know, items not received by May the 1st shall not be considered for grants. I mean, it's a given, but it might be useful to say that. I don't want to hamstring council either if there was a good reason to do something after May 1st. But
I think that May 1st is a little bit too late. I think that the way it was previously structured, March 1st was fine. That gives any group 12 months to get their application in.
Sure.
You know, and that way when council's discussing the budget, and, you know, usually by February sometime we have the first budget discussions. Then by the time we're getting to the finer details, we already have all the applications in, and that we don't have this unknown that we're waiting for May 1st to get the last applications in. So I think that March 1st was fine the way it was structured. And
how does April 1st sound? Just because of our budget situations this year. I mean, we wouldn't even get it advertised. What are we, mid-February now? They don't even know it exists, probably, most of them. So I'm wondering for this year, anyway, we set it up as April 1st. That gives them another month to put in an application. We're awfully close to March 1st now.
Well, this bylaw has been in place since 2019.
Yeah, so, but there might be new groups and. And other people last year didn't get it, so they're the ones that would be looking at the March 1st and making sure, but I don't think any have come in. So I'm just wondering if we should, I mean, it was Councillor Haskin that suggested the May, can we sort of work in between here and come up with April 1st?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I know it's April Fool's Day, it's a problem, but yeah, put your application in. But
yeah, you may or may not.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, April 1st is good, and I still have one other concern. I think I brought it up last time about it, and that's about not being used for any capital uses.
Yeah, I got that voted too, yeah.
Yeah, that just rules out everything, unless they lie on the application or something. I don't know. It's pretty much all is capital. Why?
No, I agree with that. I'm not sure why it's in there. And as you say, that's what they often need the money for. It's a project that they're working on.
Yeah. It boils back to all grants you apply for years. It's always for consultants to
right. Yeah.
And stuff. That's just, we won't give you any money for capital. You hire,
yeah.
Waste your money on hiring companies and stuff. And so when I see that not for capital, it just drives me nuts. Battling with that for years. So anyways, I would be in favor of removing that, and surely a council, if I was to make determination whether, you know, a person gets a grant or not. So anybody else agree that take capital out and we'll just make the decision?
Sounds good to me. As you say, other forms are often like that, other grants that you apply for, yeah. It's for consultants.
Yeah.
I'm just currently writing here whether you want to redo all this, but my only concern is we don't meet again until March the 7th. So whether you want to make have it all set up. Well, as you say, we don't have any applications at this particular time, and it may be like a job application where you put it out there and no applications were received, so you extend the date. So I would think here, even though we will pass March the 1st, I would think at March the 7th, we could probably do an April 1st at that point and do the amendments and have it all drawn up for it, if that gives you enough time.
Yep. So remove not for capital and then put the deadline as April 1st?
Anything else you want to see?
Yeah.
So this will be deferred then? All the question for defer? All those in favor? None opposed? Deferred? Does he want my chair too? Consent agenda. I will save that because we have different resolutions from council, perhaps, or discussions from committees. Anybody want to report on a committee or attended?
No, nothing since last meeting. I think.
Okay, just for information, the for bylaw enforcement, there are no applications, so. I'm suggesting that retender that and maybe look at going further afield for advertising. I'm not sure how far it went, but that maybe we can expand that so we can get more people interested. And I'm not sure whether any invitational tenders went out at all, so we'd have to discuss that. But I'm thinking since it's closed, we might have to re-advertise if that's okay. And with the Integrity Commissioner, we had two applicants. I think you have a copy of that now to look over, their proposals. And I've been told that we can't look that over in closed session. I'm not sure of the reasoning behind that, and I don't have that officially. But we'll have to decide which route we want to go with the Integrity Commissioner, I guess, an open council.
I think if they look back in the records to when council agreed on the previous selection of who the integrity commissioner was, that I believe was discussed in closed session. So if you can find when that agreement was signed and then look at the records around that time period, I believe you'll find that it was discussed in closed.
That makes all kinds of sense to me, especially if you start negotiating with one or another, and really what you're looking for. Now, the documents, certainly that you have, they're public documents, were public as soon as they were submitted. Anybody could have been in that RFP opening, so there's no problem there. It's just a question of looking it over and then trying to decide which one to go with, if any, where we go from here. I was not sure if we're ready for a public announcement just yet. So we'll look into that. Okay.
Who would they complain to if they were going to complain about it?
Yeah.
It's a perfect catch-22.
You'd have to assign somebody else.
Let's see if anybody wants to sign.
Oh, it looks like I'm a taker. I'll sign it just to get it on the table and discuss it. I'm not going to take all the time. That's where we should talk about it. It's open.
Put it on so we'll be sure here. Resolution 23-170, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Ryland, whereas resolution number 23-94. Was carried unanimously at the January 24th, 2023 regular meeting of council, wherein staff were instructed to ensure that said washroom facilities just outside the township office proper are always unlocked and open to the public, end quote. And whereas said washroom during the interim from then to now has not always remained unlocked and open to the public, necessitating a key to access the public washroom, now therefore be it resolved that the council of the corporation of the township of McKellar does hereby instruct the director of operations in the capacity of community center complex building manager to immediately have the lock changed so that the replacement lock can be locked from the inside only when in use, and further be it resolved that the director of operations ensure that the custodian is made aware that part of his regular duties is to thoroughly clean said washer, and finally be it resolved that the clerk administrator or designate investigate and report back to council at the next regular meeting of council as to why resolution number 23-94 was not acted upon in a timely manner. Discussion. Councilor Ryan.
From personal experience, both at home and at work, washrooms that lock only from the inside and therefore potentially don't have the means to be unlocked from outside. If you get a small child or a person that's suffered an injury or whatever inside the bathroom and you can't get in quickly, that's a huge problem. It's happened to me more than once and everything else. So while I don't have a problem with being able to lock it on the inside, it has to be unlockable from outside. Right, because otherwise somebody's in there and they have a heart attack or whatever, they're going to die because we can't get into the room. So it's really just maybe just wording, but I mean, it has to be clear that there has to be a way to open the door from the outside. So,
and that creates a bit of a problem in privacy, though.
It does.
If it's unlockable from the outside and you've locked it from the inside, you're really not being private. I mean, so there's got to be a way around this. I know what you're saying.
Well, it's usually the little hole and you shove something in there.
A little slot screwdriver,
which I do agree with. Yeah, what if? And I came in to get my agenda package, I think, and there was people using it, the public, and I believe one of the ladies from the library was kind of overseeing it, and it was kids. So yeah, what if one of the kids got in there and didn't know how to unlock it?
I agree, but I'm just saying
it's not.
Well, I assume anybody opening the door would be concerned about somebody inside, would knock on the door and saying, are you okay? Can we come in? I mean, that's common sense because it is private. But
I wouldn't assume anything these days.
Well, we could always put a sign on the outside saying that.
Councilor Kagan.
The motion says to immediately have the lock changed so that the replacement lock can be locked from the inside only. It's only talking about what was on there previously. It was exactly this. At some point within the last little while, someone has gone and taken away the previous door handle that was on there that could only be locked from the inside. And I'm just, you know, the motion is to get the same door handle back on that was on there previously.
But in an emergency, you must be able to open the door from outside.
And the other one was...
Okay,
you were able to open it.
My only point is just that we should say that just so that it's clear, so we don't run into an emergency situation where somebody would potentially die because they could not get help from it.
Sure, that's not what this motion says. So, but if you want to add it on there, there's no problem with that.
That's exactly what I would like to do, but anyhow.
Now, I think Carly has more information in the interim what has happened.
I spoke to Greg today, and he said he was going to town tomorrow to purchase a lock, so I can contact him before he goes to buy the lock tomorrow just to ensure that there is a way to open the door, like Morley said, with the hole to push through, but I can just make sure that, or if it comes with a key, that the key would be somewhere accessible in case of emergency, but not open in the public.
Yeah, keep one in the library and the office, I would think.
Yep.
Just a question. Where did the old one go to?
I'm not quite sure if the contractor took it or if it's somewhere in the office. I'm not sure.
I don't know if you agree with that, but I mean, that's saying in as few words as possible. But
the intent with Greg doing the lock is just to have it done quickly and
I agree completely
not be invoiced
with all that.
By the contractor for that when Greg can do it. So
I've had grandkids lock themselves in a bedroom and when they're like 2 years old and you can't get it open, right? So
okay, that's it's really not an agenda item then.
Do you want me to read it? I mean, my writing isn't great.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
So just the amendment in the third paragraph, locked from the inside only when in use, but can be opened from the outside in an emergency. That's the amendment. So we'll call the vote on the amendment. First of all those in favor? Unopposed? Carried. And then on the resolution as amended, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. favor issue. So.
That's when I find out that the low slot screwdriver would open the bedroom doors. What God would open the door in 10 seconds, but.
Right.
The consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you want pulled out of there? We have resolution 23-169, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Confirming or question comment period related to items on the agenda. Hearing none. Confirming bylaw 2023-21, resolution 23-171, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-21, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council this 21st day of February 2023. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Adjournments. Resolution 23-172, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Adjourn this meeting at
9:30
p.m. to meet again on February 24th, 2023, for a special meeting of Council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor?
Can we say hallelujah?
My meeting is now adjourned.
Wow.